Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm just peachy.
Good.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Michelle, good morning.
Guys, great. Quick little rant. Tried to watch the CMAs last night, streaming. It was one of the most difficult things to find streaming. Like, only YouTube TV or another one, but signed up for a free trial. Got to cancel it this morning, but I hate where our world is going.
Ooh.
I was subjected to that whole thing, too, just in my household last night. And, look, you're talking to the wrong person, because there's not an award show on the earth, and it doesn't matter what it is. It could be the ESPYs. It could be a country music show. Doesn't matter what it is. There's not an award show on the earth that I don't think is mind-numbingly stupid. So that's kind of where I approach things.
You had a similar perspective.
It's terrible to watch.
You had a similar perspective to somebody in my household as well.
The only one that I ever, I kind of sometimes get into the Oscars, you know, if I care about like the movie, you know, the best film or whatever, or sometimes if the host is funny or gets punched or whatever.
Well, that helps.
But they did have last night, they had the clogger, right?
Oh, yes. What's his name? The clogger was up there. Clogger. I don't know what his name is, but he was
pretty good, man.
He's clogging.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was fake when I saw it on Twitter, because I think everything's fake now, but
no, that guy is,
it was pretty great.
That guy's a machine.
He's the real deal.
Yes. I have a quick public service announcement for basically Nashville and the surrounding area.
Okay.
When you're driving in the car, that thing at the bottom of your seat, like on the floorboard on the right, it's called a gas pedal. You're allowed to step on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got behind like 3 people this morning. And look, I'm okay if like if you're going the speed limit, 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. If something's going on and you need to go, you know, 10 miles an hour under the speed limit on the right lane, have at it. The amount of people that were on the interstate this morning, which is 70 miles an hour, that were going like 48. I'm like, what's going on around here? I got on the road over here by where our studio is. It's a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. We were going like 32. I was like, we just taking a casual Thursday morning stroll? What in the world's going on out here? So I've complained about award shows and complained about every driver in the state.
That's 2 minutes into the
show. 2 minutes into the show.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm trying to find some more stuff to complain about today.
Were they in the left lane?
Oh, they were in both lanes. It was like, that's the worst. It's like side-by-side slowness. Yeah. There's nowhere for anybody else to go.
Man. Sorry,
got
man.
A whole crowd of people behind just riding along. Nothing happening here. Don't worry.
That's always great at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah. That's
Or, I mean, 1:30 a.m. before our pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, don't forget that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's been a few hours, but I've tried to calm down since then.
We finally talked you down.
Yeah, thanks.
Around 3:30.
Appreciate it. Joe, prepare yourself. I'm about to read off everybody that's on the Titans injury report from yesterday. Are you prepared to handle this?
Yeah.
It's a long list. We got Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker, Jeffrey Simmons, Tierre Tart, Josh Thompson, Danico Autry, Aaron Brewer, Christian Fulton, Derrick Henry, Dontrell Hilliard, Lonnie Johnson, David Long, Kevin Strong, Ryan Tannehill, Torrey Carter. That is the injury report yesterday for the Titans.
So
it's a lot of people.
Who on defense isn't on the injury report?
I mean, you've got both starting inside linebackers. You've got an outside linebacker on there. I guess your other starting outside linebacker is not on there.
3 D linemen, if you're counting Autry.
Caleb Farley. Yeah.
Well, according to Collinsworth, he's banged up in it. Once he gets healthy, watch out.
Yeah, just watch out for that. Christian Fulton.
No Byard.
The hamstring.
No Byard.
Byard's not on there.
Byard's never on there.
Yeah.
Byard's just Iron Man. Just he's fine.
There's a lot of members of the Titans on that injury report. Now, yeah. In fairness, like Danico Autry's on there. It's not injury related, but he's on there.
And Derrick Henry, by the way, is not injury related.
Correct. So there are we figured that may happen after the game Sunday night in terms of just guys getting some rest, but that's a lot of people that are on the injury report that are listed with some sort of injury. Like Christian Fulton, hamstring, limited participant. I'm just like, geez. Can we get a week?
The hammy, man. So far, the hammy stuff this year has been it's been short term, yes. Right? I don't think anybody's had a hammy on there and then hasn't played, have they? I don't think that's happened. I could be wrong.
Well, Kyle Phillips got shut down with the hammy.
Okay.
But other than that, I think you're right.
That's right. He had the hammy before the shoulder, is that right? Or did he have the shoulder first?
After the shoulder.
Okay.
It's hard to keep up.
Well, and then actually I think there was a more serious hamstring injury for was it McMath? McMath also.
Yeah.
Which I don't honestly, maybe still on IR, but yeah. The hammy virus, yeah. Not quite the same as last year, but look, those guys played, 178 plays against the Chiefs or whatever, so.
Yeah. Well, there's a few on here that are concerning from the standpoint of you felt like they were back, and now that it's back. And like Zach Cunningham, he has the elbow injury, and he's out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now he's back with an elbow injury. And Bud Dupree with the hip, it's been an issue three separate times this year. I mean, it's just it's a lingering thing with those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, Cunningham, Dupree, and Hooker with the shoulder,
yep.
Those are all serious threats to not play Sunday. And honestly, with Simmons, just the fact that late in that game, he was, he appeared to re-aggravate the ankle. Imagine if just those four guys, Simmons, Hooker, Dupree, Cunningham. I mean, especially Simmons, Hooker, Dupree. They've been fine without Hooker. They've had a lot of football without Dupree, but Simmons has been there every single time out, So, and even David Long limited with a knee. And Autry, well, again, Autry's not in, so at least he'll be back. But you take out Fulton with a hamstring, all of a sudden, what does that defense look like? It might be a 12-9 game instead of a 9-6 game.
Well, then I even looked at Dontrell Hilliard with the groin, who was a limited participant. And I'm just like, man, most soft tissue stuff. You start talking about groin, like no thanks. They need Dontrell Hilliard out there. We've talked about the playmaker that he's been. I mean, that's a crowded injury report for the Titans. And then you look at the Broncos. They had three guys that didn't practice yesterday.
It's amazing. What's that like? What is that?
Their injury report's a little bit longer, but they had three guys that didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, today is, with some of these guys, it ends up being rest, right?
Yep.
So today is always a big day to compare Wednesday to Thursday. You get some of those guys back or, even just limited who didn't play. And it's like, okay, they're probably okay. You get more DNPs, now you start talking about maybe a very different-looking defensive lineup Sunday.
On the Ryan Tannehill front, a limited participant yesterday with the ankle injury. He also spoke to the media, of which you were a part of, Joe, and asked several very good questions, as was pointed out on Jared versus Joe yesterday on the program.
Thank you, Jared.
Yes. So,
nice of you.
What were kind of your takeaways from Tannehill and what he had to say and how that could relate to his availability coming up on Sunday against Denver?
Well, he clearly wimped out Sunday. McNair would have played. And,
that's what I hear.
And also Vrabel's very angry. Vrabel's furious at Tannehill.
Yeah,
you can tell. You can tell when he answers questions about like the secondary, but there's really an underlying like anger toward Ryan Tannehill. Inspector Stillman has figured it all out. No, all those things I don't believe. I feel like there is a chance, that he could play Sunday, but you can read into it both ways. The fact that he was out there some, good. The fact that he talked about his frustration and how it's going to be lingering with him for a while,
yeah.
Not good. So, I mean, I think that honestly you can take all the information on Tannehill and you can kind of believe what you want to believe. I have thought, oh, yeah, he's probably going to play. And now I'm more in the, I have a feeling it's still going to be a little bit. But I'm trying to remember, like last week, for example, was he a DNP the whole week?
I don't think so.
No, he was at least limited on one day,
yeah.
Right? So
I think he was actually limited on Wednesday last week.
Okay. I think you're right. I think he was limited Wednesday and then he went to DMP.
Correct.
So what happens today? It'll probably, if it's different than last Thursday, then that indicates some kind of progress. It still doesn't indicate he's going to play for sure, but some kind of progress.
By the way, Megan on the text line says, quote, Byard's never owned there, end quote. Uh-oh, pointed at Rex Road.
Oh, yeah, my bad. You're right.
Knock on wood right now.
Yeah. It's knocked.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing how he's really not ever on there. But on the Tannehill front, I mean, look, he talked about the frustration that he's dealing with. He also talked about, you know, one of the things that he did say yesterday was still dealing with in terms of frustration. And there were, like you said, little hints that could leave you guessing either way, which I think is exactly what he and the Titans want. They don't want anybody to really know what's going on with the injury, but I don't know. Like, I just, from watching him in those videos last Sunday and on the broadcast on Sunday Night Football and just how limited he looked out there, even if he can go, like, it's hard for me to believe that he's going to be moving around all that great coming up on Sunday against Denver.
That's weird because Jared thinks that he was just fine. He's just like, no, I don't want to get hit by the Chiefs. No thanks. Mike, can I sit? I don't want to play.
Because that's what you can say about Ryan Tannehill is he's not a tough guy.
Yeah, he's not tough at all. No, he hasn't demonstrated any toughness in his career.
Tell you what, you can add that one to the list of some takes from our good friend Jared Stillman.
Does that make the list?
Oh, I think it makes the list.
Yeah? Okay, I'll put it on the list.
The Steve McNair would have played with the injury that we don't really know what the injury is, but I think I know, so I'm going to go.
Even though McNair missed several games in his career?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
Nah, you're right. Okay, I'll put it on the list.
615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. We'll get into the biggest surprises thus far in the NFL and also a very interesting story to monitor in the AFC that could also affect the Titans. All that coming up next. Make sure you start NFL Week 10 off the right way with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. A big one on Thursday night football in the NFC South. The mighty Carolina Panthers and Joe Rex Rhodes' beloved Atlanta Falcons doing battle tonight. I will take the Atlanta Falcons on the money line. And I've said it this week in homage to our good friend Marcus Mariota and any time rushing touchdown for him as well. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code ROB if you don't already have an account. If you do already have FanDuel, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So looking quickly around the NFL, Joe Rex Road, an injury out there that is interesting from the standpoint of nobody really knows what it's going to look like as they move forward, that could be very interesting in the AFC and could affect the Titans. Josh Allen and his UCL injury that he sustained on Sunday against the Jets with his elbow, his throwing elbow. Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills, has listed him as day-to-day this week, and there were several attempts at the press conference yesterday to try to divulge a little bit more than that with Josh Allen, and to no avail. But it's got people speculating all over the place. Like, we're looking at UCLs, and people are talking to doctors, and they were talking on Max, or Keyshawn J. Will and Max about, you know, what if he has to have Tommy John? Like, all this other stuff that is kind of getting out of control right now. But a at the moment, at the very least, his status for this game coming up on Sunday against Minnesota, I think very much in question at the very least. So when you start talking about a UCL injury for your elbow, for a quarterback on your throwing elbow, that bears monitoring. And look, if they don't have him for an extended period of time, that dramatically changes what the Buffalo Bills are.
Oh, no question. Who the heck is their backup?
Case Keenum.
Yeah. It's actually, it could be worse.
Yeah.
There's one of those guys like, oh, still in the league? And, you know,
their third string is Matt Barkley.
Oh, boy. I've heard some people this week say, what about the Titans, Matt Barkley? He's been here. He's had his shot, too, to hang with Logan Woodside. Couldn't quite hang with him. No, that's a big deal, obviously. I feel like if it's a several weeks, you know, and he can come back and beat Josh Allen, I don't care if they're on the road or home in the playoffs. I still think they'd have a great shot again in the Super Bowl. But you can certainly – the thing is, if you're the Titans with that, I mean, that's a potential opening for you, you know, if they're going to take some L's and then you look back at this last game and you're like, you know, if you beat the Chiefs right now, you'd be on the track toward chasing the one again.
Yeah.
And now that's going to be much tougher, but still the picture would definitely change. Think about it would really be a shame, honestly, if it was such a deal that they lost enough games that they missed the playoffs. I mean, they're 6-2, so they've got some cushion here. Although that division is
good.
I mean, they just lost with him to the Jets, who are 6-3, Dolphins 6-3. The AFC East being really good this year. Okay. And the AFC West being pretty stinky. Didn't see that either. Saw the opposite of that happening this year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you're looking at the schedule. You've got the Vikings this week if you're the Bills, which, I mean, look, 7-1 Vikings, 6-2 Bills. It's a game to look forward to if Josh Allen was playing. After that, it's the Browns and the Lions for the Bills. So I guess apparently the Bills and the Lions are the Thanksgiving game this year.
Oh, goody.
Congratulations to the city of Detroit.
Congratulations to the country
for that one. But I say that, like, if it's a short-term injury, if you've got Case Keenum in there, if you're the Bills, for the Browns game and the Lions game, you could probably maybe afford not to have Josh Allen for at least one of those two.
Yeah, although you know, those Lions get after
it
on Thanksgiving Day, man.
Yeah,
they get after it. Well, they'll probably go on a win streak so they can pick like 14th,
they probably
and still have no chance of making the playoffs. That's very Lions like.
Yeah, I don't know,
but yeah, that's pretty favorable. Obviously, you would think for them. I mean, if Case Keenum, I mean, you still got playmakers all over the field. Get the ball out quickly.
Wasn't it Case Keenum who was the quarterback on the miracle of Minnesota to Stephon Diggs?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sure was.
Case Keenum's made some plays out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I mean, really, like, you can definitely do. Now, I haven't seen him play football in a few years. He hasn't played, but you can do worse than Case Keenum. So, but the Bills, so much of the Bills is predicated on Josh Allen extending plays and just all of a sudden turning into, I guess, Taysom Hill, basically, when he runs the ball. And, you know, just. Those scramble plays that just kill defenses. So you take that out of it, you know, they still have a very good defense. They still have very good weapons. You'd think they'd want to actually run the ball more, which they have been talking about, but they still never really do.
Yep. So let me ask you this. In the AFC, what's the bigger surprise to you? The Jets being 6-3 or the Raiders being 2-6? I don't know why I just randomly selected those two teams. But the Jets being 6-3 or the Raiders being 2-6? What's the bigger surprise?
I'd go Jets. I mean, look, with first of all, with the Raiders, immediately when they hired Josh McDaniels, I'm like, yeah? Yeah, really? You sure?
Yeah.
You sure about that, Mark? Mark, have you gotten a haircut yet, Mark?
By the way, shout out to Big Orange Mac on Sunday, who referred to Kirby Smart as Colonel Bowlcut. maybe applicable for Mark Davis as well.
We love you, Big Orange Mac. Yeah, he might be General Bowlcut, actually. But no, I would go Jets. I mean, 6-3.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy's done a heck of a job, Robert Saleh. Heck of a job, man, with the Jets, with their defense. They got a legit D. I mean, they're 6-3 with quarterback issues.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd have to go there. But I definitely – it's close. I mean, the Raiders, again, I thought – I mean, hey, I thought Raiders and Broncos and Chargers would all be better than they are. I was like – I mean, I think I talked myself at one point, like, are the Chiefs going to be fourth?
We had that conversation.
Yeah.
They're not going to be fourth.
It wasn't a fever dream. We actually said that in public. Great.
Oh, we weren't the only ones. I mean, yeah. We didn't buy it, I don't think, but we were asking the question.
But instead it's like, yeah, Chiefs are clearly the best, and then what you guys do whatever you want to do. And the Broncos and Raiders are just cheeks. It's pretty surprising.
So, which team in the NFL thus far has surprised you the most in terms of maybe overachieving? The Giants are 6-2. The Jets are 6-3. The Seattle Seahawks, with Geno Smith as their quarterback, are 6-3. That's probably where I'm going. I mean, Pete Carroll, we talk about coach of the year, and I do believe like Vrabel, just with what he's done, belongs in that conversation. There are a lot of guys in that conversation. Sirianni's in that conversation. Pete Carroll should be. You know, obviously, O'Connell. Daboll, Robert Saleh. I mean, there's a lot of people.
O'Connell for sure. Yes. But I'm with you, man. I think it's the best story in the NFL because you want to talk about stuff we've said on this show. I mean, I thought they were going to – I was like, oh, okay. So they're Pete Carroll is going to hang around long enough to tank because he has one of those quarterbacks in mind. And it's like, okay, we'll just tank with Drew Locke or Geno Smith.
Yeah.
And, you know, get that QB and he'll try to make one more run. And they are legit. First of all, There are a few things about them. Geno is good, man. Geno's good. You know, he had a bad pick. I watched basically that whole game. He had a bad pick, and it kind of changed the game, and it gave the Cardinals lead. And from there, two straight, like, 75-yard perfect touchdown drives. Perfect. Another thing, Kenneth Walker is going to be a top-five running back in this league, like, quickly. He's going to be one of the best running backs in the league. And he's a stud. And I knew that last year when he should have been in New York. And they got it, you know. I mean, you figure a lot of the rest of the team, they had some good pieces, but I thought they'd be garbage. I mean, the New York teams are very surprising, so it is close. But I think Seattle is going to – well, we'll see. The Niners may yet turn it on here with McCaffrey and everything. But I think Seattle could win that division. That's shocking. Seattle winning that division? And I'm with you, Pete Carroll. And then meanwhile, it's like, oh, you let Russ and Russ. Oh, the NFL is going to be turned on its ear. Russell Wilson in Denver. And it's like, oh, okay, now I get it, Pete. I get a lot of things Pete has done in the last couple years now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, putting my tinfoil hat on for a second. Like, we wondered after they got rid of Russell Wilson, like, okay, you going to get Baker Mayfield? You going to, like, trade for, I don't know, Sam Darnold?
Got to do something.
Got to do something. It's Geno Smith and Drew Locke. What in the world are you going to do with that? And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know if this was always like the plan. Like, oh, yeah, let's Geno Smith's our guy. But I do wonder, like, if you're Pete Carroll, obviously part of what I was wondering about was, like, at his age, you've just traded Russell Wilson. Are you hanging around for a rebuild? Like, why would you want to do this? Do you think that maybe he knew that Russell Wilson was going downhill?
I don't think there's any question. I don't think that's even. I mean, I don't even think that's like a tinfoil hat thing. I mean, it's just, you know, look, you're not gonna say that out loud, right? Actions speak,
yeah.
And it's like people still value him higher. I mean, it's clear, like we valued him way higher. I mean, go back to even like the Titans win in Seattle last year. He got a couple freebie touchdowns. Titans gave him some coverage bus, and here you go. Arm punt that for a touchdown. But he wasn't that good. And he really wasn't that good. And he's been banged up, and I think the injuries are definitely a part of him diminishing some. But, yeah, I think Pete Carroll knew that that it was going in the wrong direction and that there is still value that you could capture out of that, and it's pretty brilliant.
And now the Titans get to see Russell Wilson coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to
let's ride.
That offense. And
let's ride, Broncos Nation.
Maybe what an offensive battle overall that one can be coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Vols and what they still have left to do on the field Is there any reason for concern at all for this Tennessee football team as they move forward, beginning on Saturday against Missouri? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state playoff action here in the state of Tennessee. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the overall discussion with the Tennessee Vols and how that relates to the college football playoff. We'll have more to get into on that front a little bit later in the program with Ari Wasserman joining the show from The Athletic at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. On the field, still some business to take care of from Tennessee. They've got Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt left on the schedule. At first glance, Joe, I think most people would say, all right, probably not going to be any problems for Tennessee there as they move forward. Do you agree with that? How do you view the rest of the schedule here? Coming off of the Georgia game, any concerns with this Tennessee team as they look ahead to the rest of their schedule here with their home finale being this Saturday against Missouri?
I mean, I've already declared that they're going to blow these last three teams out. So, but that said, every once in a great, great while, I'm wrong. I mean, it doesn't happen much, man. It's very rare. No, look, it's really fascinating to me just how they come out Saturday, because it's amazing in sports how something you're doing something the same basically all year, and you got everything rolling, and the confidence is sky high, and then you get punched in the mouth, which is what happened to the Vols. And it's amazing how many times in sports that will affect a team afterward. You know, what if the Vols come out and, you know, just have a couple 3-and-outs to start the game against Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
You start having a little question in your mind. I mean, I think they're going to absolutely dismantle Missouri ultimately on Saturday. But Missouri has played some good defense. Look, Missouri
has good defense.
Missouri has a real defense. And what they did to Georgia in particular. I mean, look. I understand it's like if they played again, I'm sure Georgia would boat race them. But that night, they manned up their receivers, and they got after Stetson Bennett, and they were a legit-looking defense, and they've played other good defensive games. We saw – and also, look, last year when the Vols scored 117 points in the first half on them and ran for 500 yards or, you know, something in that neighborhood – I'm sure that's being talked about this week.
I'm sure it is.
In the Missouri building, right? So I'm really interested. I think of the last three games, I think the game at South Carolina would have to count as the most dangerous one. Just because, look, Spencer Rattler may not be what he was cracked up to be, but he's still talented. I mean, he's capable at home at night of making some plays against that Tennessee defense and, you know, making that game interesting. But this one is big just to try to get themselves back playing the way they've played most of the year.
Well, this is what Missouri's defense has done in SEC play. They gave up 17 to Auburn, 26 to Georgia, 24 to Florida, 14 to Vanderbilt, 10 to South Carolina, 21 to Kentucky. So you're talking about a team that in SEC play has not given up more than 26 points in a game, and that was to Georgia. And they've got a legitimate defense. Like, they got some guys in the corner, in the secondary, that can run. And that's the thing. Like, if you're Tennessee, you know, another thing to point out here is, you know, the Georgia game was at home. The Kentucky game was at home for Missouri, and you're going on the road to Neyland. I know it's a noon game, Eastern time, but it's going to be a sold-out crowd there. So you're going to have a lot to deal with there if you're Missouri. But they have been able to defend the pass pretty well so far this year. So if you're Tennessee coming off a game where you didn't get a whole lot accomplished offensively, can you respond against a defense that in SEC play, every number out there would suggest they've been pretty good?
Yeah, and like with Hooker in particular too, just you had a rough game. You know, you missed a couple opportunities. Do you just get right back to just dropping it in the bucket? Because for as good as any defense is out there, again, Tennessee's going to find a way to get guys open deep. Like they do it. They've done it every single week. Now, some games they do it 12 to 14 times a game. Right. And in Georgia, they did it three times, I guess, because Fant was also open down the sideline and he overshot him. But, you know, the two, McCoy and Hyatt in particular, you know, were wide open. So you're going to have those opportunities. You know, does Hooker come right back and all of a sudden he's laser sharp and just bounces back? Because that's. Like, if you're a linebacker who has a bad game, the next week, just go out, you know, just fly around and hit people. Quarterback's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, and the flip side of this matchup, Joe, is I don't think Missouri's offense is very impressive, and I think Tennessee's defense should be able to have a pretty good day. So, you know, I think Tennessee's probably not going to have to get into the 40s to win this game. It's probably going to have to get into the high 20s. Maybe lower 30s to win this game, if I had my guess. Maybe not even that much. But I am interested to see how their offense responds after what happened last week. Like, you know, in terms of worrying about, like, being upset, I don't think Tennessee's got much of a shot to be upset as they move through the next three games. I just think their offense is going to be too much for these teams, especially when you factor in, like, Missouri, I think, is the best defense they're going to see as they move through these next three games. And I don't think Missouri's offense is good enough to keep up with Tennessee's, even if Missouri has a good day on defense. I hear you on the South Carolina one. I mean, it's Knights, William Bryce. It's a pretty underrated environment, actually.
Yeah,
and good. You know,
Sandstorm.
Sandstorm. If Spencer Rattler gets rolling, maybe you get into a shootout there under the lights at William Bryce. But the Vols are going to be, they are a double-digit favorite in this game, and they're going to be significant favorites in the other two as well.
And I think if they get things going back the way they want them, just get back to their execution, get back to their confidence, then you can roll it into the next week, and I'm sure they'll be fine. Another thing is, do they need to think? I mean, they just need to win. Win three games, and they're going to be in position. But, look, if I'm Josh Heupel, as these games unfold, I'll tack on another touchdown or two if it's possible. Well, there's no harm in that at all.
There's no harm in that, and I don't know ultimately at the end of the day if, you know, beating the absolute crap out of Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt is going to matter that much. But I can tell you this, if they don't, in terms of if they win the Missouri game by 3 points, that will matter.
Yeah.
So there is some style points that I think need to be in play here if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, you want to avoid the perception that, they're wobbling, and look at that. That's not impressive. I mean, I don't think there's much difference between, like, winning by 20 or by 40, but there's a difference between winning by 9 and 20 or whatever. You know, I mean, like, you want to leave no doubt.
A
high teens margin, at least, I'd say, in these games, just to – make it clear, you're back to dominating people.
And the line for Tennessee-Missouri is Tennessee minus 20.5. So about a 3-touchdown favorite for the Vols on Saturday. I mean, you covered on that. It'd be pretty good for the Vols.
Yep.
Take that right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I know, you know, some Tennessee fans want to see 63-3, but yeah. Cover on that, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this looks like for them, particularly on offense, how they respond to it, but I do not anticipate many problems for the Vols in these next three games. So I look forward on Monday coming back in here when I'm in Neyland on Saturday and discussing a nice 26-25 win for the Vols.
Yes.
Maybe a 26-25 loss.
Well, if it's a loss, when's the next time you'll go back there?
2055.
Just to say your goodbyes.
I do want to point out, I was in the building for the famous Tennessee and Wyoming game. That was fun.
Wow.
Well, that was when I knew Fulmer was done. Like, all right. See ya.
Yeah. 08, right?
That was 08.
That was 08. Yeah.
Tough one.
But you were there. You've been there for good moments, too.
I have.
Six and Michelle's been there for good moments Tennessee.
Yes. Maybe that's what we need, Michelle, to go to every game.
Yeah, just send me to every game.
The average margin of victory when Tennessee is there is quite high.
The other team.
38 points a game margin.
Pretty good.
When Michelle's there.
All right. We don't need to say the exact numbers.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports for this week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your submissions, your text at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, as you do on a weekly basis, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
You know I would.
I know you would.
Sorry, I'm checking a name to make sure I get this right. I mean, look, let's be honest here. Like, the best thing is very, very obvious, is it not? College hoops is back.
I knew you were going
right?
there.
Well, of course I'm going there.
Of course he's going there.
I knew that's exactly where you were going.
Where else would anyone go? Very exciting. And by the way, shout out to, you know, so Belmont. I mean, I don't know what kind of year they're going to have. Obviously, some huge losses. Now they're moving, you know, different league, and it's, you know, it's going to be very interesting. But what happens? You come out with a really good game, by the way, in the first game against Ohio. That was actually one of the better games in all of college hoops. And Cade Tyson with the buzzer beater, the beautiful play design from Casey Alexander, comes out, nails the three-pointer at the buzzer. So that's a heck of an opening night for college basketball. College basketball is back. Lady Vols also had a really fascinating game at Ohio State. Turnover 29 times. Very disappointing loss for number 5 Tennessee, but they're going to be good. UT men are going to be good. Vanderbilt loses to Memphis. I can go on and on. Vanderbilt, I think, is still an intriguing team.
Kentucky's backcourt looks unreal.
Louisville looks cheeks, so you're loving both of those things. So that's my best thing. My worst thing is the Nashville Predators. They are a real problem right now.
They are
a real problem right now. And tonight's a big game. Maybe Colorado gets the best out of them, but they got stuff to figure out. Like, you got to stop messing around. I know that division, I mean, like, St. Louis fans would be like, well, really? You guys have problems? I mean, it's upside down right now. But so there, you know, there's time. It's going to change, but you got to get your stuff together. It's pretty brutal.
It's been very bad thus far. Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, I have two small worsts, so we'll start with worst. So this one it's kind of sports because now Twitter, you can pay to get verified, and I already was so gullible on Twitter before, just sending things to you guys. And don't get me wrong, like, I would say my record is probably 70% correct, and then that 30%, though, some of those stories just really get me. And I'm just, like, reading off Twitter, and I didn't know it was in effect yet. I didn't know that we could already start paying for check marks. And I'm just reading these stories last night, and Ryan is like, what are you talking about? And then I see, oh, the at sign is not actually Adam Schefter. So
you're out in force on Twitter.
So there's that. And everybody just watch out and don't be spreading news unless you actually know it is true. Something that I thought was fake this week that also is going to be my worst, when Jeff Saturday got announced as the Colts head coach. But he is not the worst. Listen, I'll give him a chance, whatever. But Jim Irsay's press conference, I went back and watched that on Tuesday, and I was just sitting there, you know, watching that for 30 minutes. And if you closed your eyes and didn't know who was talking and you didn't hear the questions from the reporters, you really would have no idea what that press conference was about. It was just all over the place. It was absolutely just wild and insane. But listen, I recommend you go listen to that because it's kind of funny as well.
So wait, that's your worst?
Well, the worst for, like, if you're a Colts fan, if you're in the Colts organization, like, what the heck is happening right now? But it's also kind of funny if you're not. So my best this week, obviously, shout out to basketball starting. But I don't know if you guys saw this video on the Ravens Instagram and Twitter account. Lamar Jackson surprised this young boy with a heart condition.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there in his Lamar jersey, and all of a sudden they just open the door, and he has no idea Lamar's about to walk in. And the little kid just gets up, runs to Lamar, and just starts hugging him and just won't let go. Lamar's like, I like your jersey, bud. And he's just crying, looking at him in shock. And it's really awesome. And you love to see when players, you know, give back and do things like that, especially for this kid who's going through something that nobody could probably, not many people could imagine going through. So that was my best. And Ursae was like the in-between one.
Yeah. It's eye of the beholder.
It was a transition one.
It is the eye of the beholder. All right, my best thing in sports, and this happened last week, but I feel like more attention should be brought to it, so I'm going to do it. Hani Mukhtar, MVP in MLS. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Hani Mukhtar and the way that he has transformed Nashville SC. He was the Golden Boot winner this year for the most goals in the league, and everybody around here thought he should be MVP. We thought he had a case last year to be MVP, but he won the award this year. So the 2022 Landon Donovan MLS Most Valuable Player Award winner, Hani Mukhtar, my best thing in sports for Nashville SC.
Good call.
My worst thing in sports, I have two parts. Number one, people like Joe Rexroad who think LSU have a good argument of being in the college football playoff. My worst thing in sports this week, honorary. My actual worst thing in sports, the Green Bay Packers. They're awful. And I texted you this after the game Sunday. Right now, with the way that they're playing right now, they might be the worst team in the league. And that's not an exaggeration. They might be the worst team in the league. I know the Colts have an argument for that. The Texans have an argument for that. The Packers are right there with them, man. They're awful. 3-6. They're absolutely terrible. It's unbelievable
December 4th.
Bad that they've been. Yes.
The question is, will you and I both witness the turnaround? Because we're both going to be in Lambeau from today.
Yeah, I'm
right?
jealous.
Is it a week from today? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
A week from today, both going to be in Lambeau, and maybe against the Titans, they'll turn it around.
I'm going to doubt it. I would take Derrick Henry over on rushing yards right now. That would be my advice to you. But it's to be a team
pretty
that
fantastic.
A lot of people pick to – now, I did not pick this, but a lot of people pick to go to the Super Bowl before the season started. To be at 3-6 is kind of incredible. Like, it's – pretty unreal how quickly they've fallen down. They were 3-1 at one point. They're now 3-6.
It warms my cold, dead heart, I must tell you. Another honorary mention for worst, by the way, is the Bruins Mitchell Miller thing. If anybody doesn't know that story, ugh, awful.
Yeah. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler says, the best in sports has to be Desmond Bain. What a player, and he's really upped his game this year. He already has 6 games of 28 points or more. The Grizzlies have found a great backcourt. What a turnaround from the grit and grind days. Certainly a different style of basketball that is played now by the Memphis Grizzlies.
I love it. Days. More hoops.
Yeah.
More hoops. Now, Bane is awesome.
Ryan in Nashville says the best thing in sports, Alabama sucks this year and won't make the college football playoffs. The worst thing in sports, according to Ryan, David Poyle and John Hines are still with the Preds. I think a lot of frustrated Predators fans right now.
I got a mailbag today, and I just put all the questions about when they're being fired all together. It's like this huge block of complaining. But I get it. I'm not. Look, I get it. I get the frustration.
I get the frustration as well. Joey from Bellevue on the text line says, the best is Walker Zimmerman and Shaq Moore from Nashville SC representing the USA in the World Cup. We're getting close to World Cup action here.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm trying to think.
Sad we're not having one here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wouldn't be until 2026 anyway.
Right. But although, actually, you know, the former FIFA head was like, yeah, it's a complete sham that it was ever in Qatar. It should have been in the North America this year.
Yep. Yep.
No kidding.
You don't say.
But too late for that.
It is too late for that.
Good job, FIFA.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. In retrospect, I can't believe like my best thing in sports wasn't Alabama losing their second game. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, that's another – well, there's always a lot of good candidates for either one. This is one where reader participation, like every week it's like, oh, yeah, that should have been my best, or oh, that should have been my worst, yeah.
Although
Ursae, I mean, that's on the best.
Although
list.
I will say – and this happens every time. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. The exaggeration of maybe the demise of Alabama is...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've lost 2 games by a combined 4 points, and their field goal kicker missed the kick in the Tennessee game, and they couldn't stop a 2-point conversion in the other one. Like, it's... It's not like they're getting killed out there.
No, it's two things. It's the two things being true at once. Go ahead and count them out at your own peril. Nick Saban's probably going to figure it out and have really good teams moving forward. The other thing is, though, I do buy into, like, Georgia has kind of taken their place as that program that sets the standard. And I know it's one national title, but when you lose what they did and then you have this team.
Yeah.
So I think both those things are true, but I also think we're going to have more big Georgia-Bama, you know, clashes and spots in the playoff and all that stuff ahead. I got a texture here. Best thing, Jared's film room. Worst thing, Jared's film room. Fitting.
It is fitting. Speaking of Jared's film room, we'll have our own session coming up next with Jared Stillman joining the program. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen in hashtag Jared's film room. That's next.
So much.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.